This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. More news developing out of the nation's capital today. The acting director of National Intelligence, Joseph McGuire, testified before the House Intelligence Committee this morning, answering questions about the whistleblower complaint about President Trump's interactions with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. One question he would not answer was whether he had talked with the president directly about the complaint.
My conversation, no matter what the subject is, with the President of the United States is privileged conversation between the Director of National Intelligence and the President.
Joining us now on the line from Washington to discuss her reaction to the testimony and the complaint itself is Massachusetts Congresswoman Lori Trahan. Congresswoman Trahan, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let me just begin by asking you your reactions to today's hearing.
Yeah, you know, I think what's being laid out is an alarming pattern of behavior. It was compounded by this morning's release of the whistleblower report and acting DNI McGuire's testimony.
When you say pattern of behavior, what do you mean by that?
Well, I think we're in a deeply troubling new chapter of oversight. You know, I think started yesterday when we read the memo of the original conversation. It clearly shows the president requesting the Ukrainian president's assistance to dig up dirt on his political opponents. You know, those conversations between two countries' leaders, they don't happen in a vacuum. The president had, you know, he had not granted an official meeting to the new president of Ukraine. He was withholding $400 million in critical military aid. You know, I can't punctuate enough how important aid like that is to the Ukraine when Russia is a constant threat to its sovereignty. All the while, Rudy Giuliani is meeting with senior officials from Ukraine. So, you know, the favor that was asked is it demonstrates a pretty clear quid pro quo if you take into account conversations that happen between our world leaders, and him soliciting a foreign government to interfere in our elections as a betrayal to our country.
Congresswoman, you talk about a pattern of behavior. You just laid out a number of facts and allegations that have come out in the last 24 to 48 hours. Between the testimony today and the whistleblower complaint, what was the biggest revelation or important piece of information to you?
You know, I think that there's a lot to consider. I mean, look, the first line of the whistleblower report is the president of the United States is using the power of his office to solicit interference from a foreign country in the 2020 U.S. election, and then it lays out, you know, the people who have knowledge of that. I think we are in the beginning of a process where we need to, you know, surface those facts, conduct those interviews so that we can get at the truth.
That process, any clarity on if and when there will be a formal vote on an impeachment inquiry in the House?
You know, right now, I think we're focused on the urgency around the Intelligence Committee doing its job and due diligence. There were half a dozen officials who were referenced in the report that are likely going to have to come before Congress. The whistleblower, him or herself, you know, Rudy Giuliani, Attorney General Barr, the ambassador. There's many people that were mentioned in this memo. And so I think, you know, right now what's most important is using our committee structure to continue to investigate exactly what happened.
Congresswoman, have you heard from any Republicans who support an impeachment inquiry?
You know, you can imagine that those conversations are pretty sensitive. I think one of the things that I'm observing from my colleagues is a reluctance to say that. I think what they are demonstrating is that they've got grave concerns with the phone call. And, you know, while some folks are, already calling this a witch hunt, and, you know, kind of following the party line. I think some of the members, and in fact, in particular, some of the members who I sit on the Armed Services Committee with, they understand the gravity of these actions, and they're hopefully going to put their country first.
So during today's hearing, Congresswoman, Republicans talked about the fact, hey, this is the third presidential phone call that's been leaked to the media. They also highlighted that this complaint is based on secondhand information. Is there any of the GOP response or pushback that you find credible?
You know, I think that it's really important to protect our whistleblowers, you know, especially our whistleblowers in the intelligence agency. They're dealing with such classified information and highly sensitive information, and it's pretty much self-regulating, right? If somebody sees some wrongdoing, they have to be able to raise their hand, and we have a process for them to do that where their identity is protected. We've created a safe environment for them to tell us their concerns.
So I'm sorry to interrupt, but I really want to have a chance to ask you this. To that point, the New York Times is reporting that this morning, President Trump told a room full of diplomats, quote, American diplomats, quote, "I want to know who's the person who gave the whistleblower the information, because that's close to a spy. You know what we used to do in the old days when we were smart with spies and treason, right? We used to handle it in a little differently than we do now," end quote. Do you have concerns that we are sufficiently able to protect whistleblowers?
We're going to do everything that we can. I think right now we understand the importance of protecting our whistleblowers. I mean, look, the president will do anything to distract the American people from the facts. He's going to discredit the whistleblower. He's going to call this a witch hunt. He's going to continue to call this a perfect conversation with the Ukrainian president. But the fact remains, he asked the Ukrainian president to intervene in our 2020 elections. He put his own personal interests above our country's, and that's wrong. So we're going to get to the bottom of that, and we're going to hold him accountable.
That's Massachusetts Congresswoman Lori Trahan. I know you're very busy today. Thanks for taking time out for Radio Boston.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Now for some analysis, we turn to Martha Minow. She's a Harvard professor and the former dean of Harvard Law School. Martha, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you.
So let me start by asking, what's your biggest reaction from today's hearing?
You know, I think we still have a lot of questions and we need a lot of information, but I think one major reaction I have is the recognition on the part of the administration that it can't just stonewall and it can't prevent people from being in contact with the oversight process of the Congress.
So speaking of the stonewalling reference you just made, in your legal analysis, did acting DNI McGuire handle this complaint appropriately? It was quite a while before he delivered it to the Congress.
Well, there's nothing written in the job description about time limits, but no question there must be a lot of levels of debate and oversight. This took longer than I would want for accountability, but now the process is going forward.
Martha, Rudy Giuliani, Trump's personal attorney, looms very large in the whistleblower complaint. Is he himself in possible legal trouble here if these allegations are true?
Well, he certainly has reputational trouble, and it may well be that he was well beyond his remit, that he was blurring the boundary between being the personal lawyer and somehow speaking on behalf of the administration. And he is not protected by the executive privilege. He's not protected by the rules that govern governmental attorneys. So it will be interesting to see what kind of accountability comes to bear on his conduct.
Here's acting DNI McGuire when he was asked whether he was aware of Rudy Giuliani's role.
My only knowledge of what Mr. Giuliani does, I have to be honest with you, I get from TV and from the news media. I am not aware of what he does, in fact, for the president.
Is that a credible claim in your mind, that he doesn't know what Giuliani does for the president?
You know, I don't have, I'm not in the room. I don't know who's talking with whom. But it's very conceivable to me that there's stovepiped information and meetings here and that Rudy Giuliani is not at the Department of Justice. He's not in their meetings, and they are not in his meetings. That seems very conceivable.
There's some news.
Now, whether
whether
there's a chief of staff who's trying to keep track of all these pieces, or you know, the president himself, that's a big question.
There's some news breaking this afternoon, according to the New York Times. This morning, President Trump told a room full of American diplomats, I want to know, quote, I want to know who's the person who gave the whistleblower the information, because that's close to a spy. You know what we used to do in the old days when we were smart with spies and treason, right? We used to handle it a little differently than we do now, end quote. If the president said that, because that comes from notes, are there legal implications for him saying that, you know, sort of in public or to a group of American diplomats?
Wow. I hadn't heard that. The Whistleblower Act was enacted for a very particular reason, and the reason was to provide the kind of assurances and guarantees to people who are reporting misconduct so that they are not chilled from doing so. In a democracy, you cannot have accountability if people who have information are not allowed to bring it to those who have responsibilities to protect the nation. So whether the president will be personally liable or the administration will have some accountability, you know, impeachment remains and conviction for impeachment remains the only real tool. But there certainly could be hearings. There certainly could be oversight. Life could be made pretty unpleasant for people in the administration.
That's Martha Minow. She's a Harvard professor and the former dean of Harvard Law School. Martha, thanks again for your time and insight.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Stay with us. Coming up, we'll talk with one of the participants of the UN's Climate Action Summit this week. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.